We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat. Beautiful new Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Mr. Ezra Randall. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing wonderful.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments, and you can send it in a private message. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you are tuned in. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come and to visit and to share with your people about dreams and visions. And so, Father God, we pray that you would give us a teachable spirit, allow us to have open minds and open hearts, that we can hear, listen, understand, and comprehend what you are saying. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Ready.
I am so ready. Dreams and vision. I always like your teachings. You bring some good teachings, sir, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
It's helped me a lot.
That's good. My pleasure. Okay. Well, thank you for having me. I want to talk about dreams and visions. On the book here, it says, God gives us dreams and visions as solutions for everyday problems. And it is Monday morning. It's not April Fool because you're not in school. I remember the April Fool days at school. I would love that and pull jokes and different things like that on people. That was, you know, my favorite subject was lunchroom and recess, but April Fool was the third most likable day. But anyway, it's Monday, April the 1st, 2024. And people are dealing with, everybody's in a storm. Trust me, the people in Hollywood, the people that slept in a box last night, everybody have issues. We deal with people, places, and things. And so God knows that we're going to have, you know, difficulty in our life and challenging times and problems and situations. And a lot of our problems start out temporary. Can you say temporary? A lot of our problems are, it's just a temporary problem, which means it's not a life sentence. It's just, okay, you're going to go through this, and you're going to experience this pain, and you're going to experience this suffering. And the Bible tells us to get happy when our number is called to go through. Oh boy, count it all joy. But if you would listen to your dreams and your visions and your premonitions, there's an answer to keep people such as you and I from turning a temporary situation into a permanent problem. Let that sink in. There's somebody right now in prison that had a temporary problem, okay? And all I had to do is walk away or say I'm not at liberty to discuss that today. Not my circles. There's a lot of ways you can de-escalate an argument. A person just don't get killed. There's steps and actions before the fight breaks out. A lot of time it starts with a misunderstanding, and you said, I heard, they did. And you get offended and you get upset and you begin to raise your voice a little bit. That's mistake number one. Gotta always remain calm, cool, and collected. So they raise their voice. Now, the temporary problem is getting worse because now nobody is listening with an understanding. I'm just listening so I can come back. Yeah. When you get through talking, I'm going to pin your ears. I'm going to bring up something just to make you mad. And so we got two adults talking, and nobody is really paying attention. Because if they were paying attention, they're going to be like, oh, that wasn't me. I was off that day. But because of not paying attention, not following and seeing the warning sign, stop, yield, bathroom break, smoke break, any kind of break. I don't smoke, but take some type of break. Breathe. Get plenty of oxygen to your brain. Because we ignore those signals, now the situation has escalated. And now I'm walking towards you, and you're walking towards me, and you're not backing down. And in your mind is saying, this is not going to turn out good. And one thing leads to the next. And sometimes you don't remember hitting a person. You get so mad, you see red. And next thing you know, you're in the police car, or you're on the ground, and you be thinking like, how did I get here? I blacked out. And it's sad. So the Lord knows that. And so as you get up in this morning, Monday morning, you're having issues. You're having some discomfort. And so a lot of time God uses dreams and visions and premonitions to give us a heads up and say, hey, I'm going to give you this dream. I'm going to give you these answers. You don't need them today, but put them on the shelf. They got a bookshelf over here. Put it on the bookshelf. Within the next 14 to 21 days, if you think about it, it would be right here. And a lot of people say, well, I had too much greasy pizza. Or I watch too much late TV. And some of those things can be an influence because our mind is a video and our mouth is audio. So things that you hear and see, your mind is so intelligent. And it replay everything that you participated that day. Okay. And so God is so wonderful to give us dreams and visions and give us an answer before we even have a problem. Warning comes before destruction. And so as I look back over my life, if I could be 22 again, with the knowledge that I have now, I would be a very smart person. Now, I'm not going to discredit all of my bad encounters because some of those, I learned some things. But I'm here to tell you, Facebook people, observation and reservation. Yeah. They're the best teachers. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks say, well, if you haven't had a baby, you don't know what it really means to be a mama. That is not true. Mm-hmm. I heard that when I was growing up. You know, you're not a real mom until you feel the pain and of carrying that baby. Just not true. Love and compassion will allow you to reach in the gutter and reach people and give to people. As I look back, some of my lessons that I have experienced and God taught me, yeah, I probably wouldn't change some of those because it was for the best. But there's a whole lot of cotton picking, high priced manure that I got. I could have done without it simply by listening to mama. Or simply by listening to my pastor. Or listening to somebody said, hey, I don't think that's going to turn out very good. Hey, when I need your advice, I'll ask you. You know what I'm saying? And so God will give you dreams and he will place people in your life that will speak words of wisdom to you to keep you from. Now, I'm not trying to discredit experience. Experience is a good teacher. He's a great teacher, but he's not the only teacher. If you tell me, Monica, and give me some advice, and or you, Tina, you tell me a good piece of information, I really don't have to go and experience it and say, well, yeah, I'm glad I got that. No, I don't really need that if I can hear your heartbeat and say, this is how I would do this, and this is how I would approach this, and this is how I wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And so if I could be 22 with the knowledge I have now, man, I would really be further ahead in life. But that's a horse of another color, and it is what it is. But we're going to talk about dreams and visions. Page number 23, if you have my book, you can get it on Amazon.com or you can call me and you can purchase a book from me. But we're going to look at page 23 and we're going to talk about colors. So you that have your book, turn with me to page 23 and we're going to talk about colors. So colors in dreams are very significant and they're very important. Sometimes people see white, sometimes people see gold, sometimes you see pink, sometimes you see blue. The major colors in your dreams are the colors in a rainbow. With the exception, there's a few others like white and black and gold. If you have a dream and you see gold in your dream, it is a representation that God is wanting you to sanctify your mind and to live holy. The way you go from 18 karat gold to 22, you have to put it back in the fire and get the impurities off of it. So when you see gold, God is saying, Tina, can you give me a little more prayer time? Monica, can you give me a little more time in the word? So gold is a color that when you see gold, you need to just say, okay, God, I repent. I'm sorry. You know, and so a lot of colors represent, there is a whole different language just in colors. So he could talk colors. He can talk a particular language with you just using colors. So when he say pink, like you wore pink today, there's some things that you're deciding. There's some decisions that you're going to have to make. When we go to our closet, it's called the closet of the coats of many colors. And you have every color in your closet. Mm-hmm. Every color exists. You, unless you have everything. And you have some people that's probably wear all black. I mean, I like black. But you may have some people like all white. But if you're normal, you're going to have a variety of every color. So be careful when you go to your closet. Because when you get to work, just look down and see what you have on. And I can tell you what's going on in your day simply by colors. Now, Tina have on tan today. She's a very compassionate person. Tan is the spirit of compassion. Love is a great person. But love has a twin sister. And compassion and love are twins. Okay? And so Monica, you have some things on your mind because you wore pink today. And so a lot of people say, well, how do you get all your meanings and everything? And I tell them I get most of my meanings and parallels from the Greek and the Hebrew meaning. I love the Greek meanings and the Hebrew meanings of the Old mm-hmm. Testament and the New Testament. A lot of them are just revelations that God have given me. For an example, they say, well, how do you come up with the color pink means to finally decide? I thought, okay. My mother was a diabetic for 40 years. Her name was Ethel Lee Randall. And Dr. Gill, G.S. Gill, was her doctor. And she, they always tell people who are diabetics, don't never walk around barefooted because you can get something in your toe and you don't even know it's there. You can get a tack or something because you just don't have a lot of feeling. Well, she was about to lose her toe. And they gave her some antibiotics. And the antibiotics always make it look worse. But you know what? When we saw the pink, we're like, it's finally deciding to heal. And God says, pink is a representation of you finally deciding, this is what I'm going to do. So pink is a color to let you know I'm going to decide to do this. What about yellow? Yellow means hope. They say, well, where you get that color from? Well, sometimes I'm in my own little world and I have my own application. yellow means hope because when you're at a signal light, okay, green mean go, red mean stop, and amber mean go faster. I hope I'm going to make it through. When you look at the daisies and the sunflowers in the field, you look at the yellow, you see that there's hope for tomorrow. They stand so tall, the sunflower, they stand about 7 feet tall, 6 feet. And some of them, time they close when the sun is not shining, but when the sun shines, they open up and they accept you with wide arms. What about green? Green means growth and increase. And they say, well, how do you get that? How do you come up with that? I say, well, green. When a farmer takes a seed, take all those thousands of dollars and go out there and prepare the soil. And he puts the seed in the ground, trusting and hoping and believing and having faith that he's going to have a crop. But he really can't relax because sometimes the seeds are dead. And we don't know until we see the green blade pokes his head out of the dirt. Hey, he's alive. How do you know? Because I see the green head. The blade is sticking up out of the dirt. Now the farmer gets happy because we're going to have a crop, boys. Oh, glory to God. I see the green. Sometimes you have to move the dirt back. See the green blade? And then you put the dirt back. Green mean increase. Oh, glory. I'm getting a little bit excited because we're talking about dreams and visions. We're talking about the colors that God has given us in a rainbow. What about blue? Blue is symbolic of liberation to your mind and freedom to your body. I say, well, how do you get that color? How do you know blue represents freedom? Okay, I say, well, just good common sense. I mean, people say, you're smart. No, I'm not smart. I was in special education. okay? I was one of those special ed boys. You know what I'm saying? So we played checkers and all that. So I do not take credit for being smart. But I will tell you that God is good and that he has allowed me to walk in the gift of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's the only thing I ever need is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that I might know how to speak to people and give people insight. But anybody can figure this stuff out. You know what I'm saying? You just have to be able to listen and be quiet and soak. Okay? So what color was I talking about? Blue? Okay. How do we know we're going to have a free day of freedom? So when the sun comes up, it's nighttime. You can never really plan your day by the night. You have to plan your day. Even the weatherman will say it's going to be sunny and it'll rain like cats and dogs. And you'll be thinking, Gary England, you messed me up today. You told me it was zero chance of rain and I got all my tools out and it's raining like cats and dogs. So how do we know the color blue represents freedom? Well, you have to look up at the sky, and when you see a blue sky, you say, man, we can pull the cotton, we can chop cotton, we can work to sun up, to sun down, because a blue sky presents no danger, no threats, no harm. You don't see any clouds. The wind is not blowing. See, those clouds are the boogers. They don't want to breathe. They don't want to bring the tornadoes and the hail and the rain. But I've never seen it, a blue sky with no clouds. It just rained like cats and dogs. Now, maybe you have. So when you look at a pretty sky blue, you be thinking, boys, we're going to be able to travel at ease. And that's where I get the color blue is a representation of the meaning of liberation. There's so much more I can say on that, but for the sake of time, let me, just go over to, I got a list of things that I want to talk about. We're going to talk about colors. We're going to talk about numbers. We're going to talk about falling dreams. We're going to talk about night dreams and we're going to talk about Abimelech. And hopefully we can get through that. It's just a small subject. There is hundreds of subjects when it comes to dreams and visions. And so there's so much more about colors. But anyway, God will, as I finish up on colors, God will give you, it's called a color code. He will speak to you without anybody opening up your mouth with the color, and you can have a conversation with colors. Okay, so for the sake of time, we're not going to give you any more colors, but there are several other colors that we could talk about. Let's talk about numbers, 1 through 20. So we're going to turn to page 24 in my book. Oh, this is so much fun because I love dreams and visions and premonitions. And Let me give you a bonus. Praise means to adore God. It's like decorating a tree. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nissi. You put things and you recognize Jesus. That's what is praise. You thank God for your testimony. Worship is being thankful, being grateful for what God has done for you. There's another word, soaking. You ever heard of soaking, Tina? Well, when you put the worship music on and you just begin to soak. Now, notice it's kind of hard to soak without praise first and without worship. So worship, praise, we come in and say, God, I just thank you for my life and my health and my strength. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you for being Lord of my life. Thank you for giving me the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. God, I praise you. You're Jehovah Jireh. That you're praising God. And as you praise God, there's a formula to the numbers I'm getting ready to share with you. So we should always acknowledge God with praise. Now, when you praise him, you become quiet. Because a lot of time God speaks to us in worship. A lot of time the reason, Monica, we don't get a lot of answers is because we spend too much time praising God. Gotta go, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Like, wait a minute, where are you going? You didn't worship. You didn't soak. So there's a formula. Praise, worship, and soaking. Now, soaking gets another word. It's called meditation. And praise, worship, and meditation. But we, for the sake of, I like soaking. So when we praise God in the morning, and that's the first thing you're supposed to do. God, thank you. I made the wake up list. I made the call list. Woo, I have one more day. Ooh, the turn flips. I'm a spiritual cheerleader. I'm going to cheer. My team is winning. The fight is fixed. I know how it's going to end. God, I praise you. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Now, when you get all your praise done in 20, 30 minutes, now you kind of, your heart is beating. Okay, now God's in a rest. Now, I'm going to talk to you. You've told me who I am, what I've done, and everything. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the first and the last. Now you just be quiet and settle down and get your heart rate back and just worship me and just leave the music going. This is what worship looks like. And the music is going on. Sing with me. How great is our God. Sing, how great is our God. And then you're just worshiping. And you're in a comfortable position. And you're worshiping. And the Lord began, his presence began to come in. And he began to speak to you and shape and mold your day with information, instruction, and direction. And reading that other person is going to hit a brick wall because they just praised God at the last minute and ran to work. But you got up on time. You got up an hour early to spend about 30 minutes in praise and 30 minutes in worship and soaking in God. So that last 30 minutes, you just worshiping God, and he began to put things in your spirit. Woo, my God, I feel Jesus right now. He began to open you up for greatness. And he began to let you know how, why, when to approach your day. And then when you get all your instruction, there's one thing left after worship. What did I say? What's the third one? Soaking. Now, soaking is when the presence of God is just in the room. You don't want to leave too good. You want all that aroma. You want all that scent. You want all that flavor to get in your spirit. So now you just going to sit here and the presence of God is so thick you can cut it with a butter knife. I'm going to just soak in his presence. Like that, don't bother me now. Little Johnny comes in. Mama, I want a piece. Don't bother me now. I'm soaking. I'm soaking. Hold on. Give me 10 more minutes to soak. And it's kind of like a bath. When you soak in the bath water, all the debris, your skin becomes soft. All that perfume and bubble bath soaks in. It penetrates your skin. That's a natural bath. Spiritually speaking, it's just like a soak. You don't just get in there and run 15 gallons of water and take a bath for 1 minute. No, you're wasting water. Come on and soak a while. Amen. You have to knock on the door. Mom, you've been in there soaking for an hour. Your skin is going to start bleaching. How long are you going to be in there? Leave me alone. What the Lord is the same. And you're soaking and you'll be saying, God, I got to go to work. But you have established a perimeter. You have established there's a shifting and anointing in the atmosphere. And it's just like, oh my, I don't want to leave the room. His presence is here. Doesn't it just make sense? The praise, the worship, and the soaking. A lot of people go to church, but the way I just explained that, a lot of them probably never heard it like that. Have you? Excuse me?
I like to praise and worship.
You like praise and worship?
Meditation, but not the soaking.
Yeah.
I've heard it referred to as soaking.
Yeah. Praise is no good without worship.
I like to worship marinate.
That's another word. That's it. Yeah. Kind of like barbecue, and you just don't go put the meat. I mean, you put it in there. Yeah. My God.
Explained it very well.
We got to take a break, and we'll finish up the next hour.